Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. The Heat have 5 games left after back-to-back losses. That makes Wednesday's game against Charlotte extremely important to their playoff chances. David, this is going to be a hell of a playoff home stretch here.
It's going to be tough. I mean, with their 5 games, they're facing teams that will have different positions that they're fighting for within the playoff structure. Obviously, the Hornets are looking at the grim hope of making the playoffs, but they're 7-3 over their last 10 games, so they've obviously been playing better after they started off the season as hot as they did. They've been at 500 or below 500 for most of the season, but recently, obviously, they've picked up their play of late, and they seem to be making a late season push. So it's a huge game, but every game at this point for those teams meandering around the 6th through 10th seed in the Eastern Conference standings is up for their playoffs lives.
Charlotte was one of those teams that we thought were just out of it. You know what I mean? They were so, I think right. At some point they were 8 games below 500 or something. Like, it was just done. But this game Wednesday could really mean that, like, Charlotte could be fighting for their playoff chances in that game. Miami will certainly be trying to hold on to whatever advantage they have for the 8th seed. I mean, Wednesday's game against Charlotte, and the Heat are lucky that they're going to have a nice little break in between Sunday and Wednesday night's game.
Right.
Like you said, Charlotte, they're coming off of a back-to-back against Washington. But that's still, like, the Heat, they got a nice little break, and they've got to take advantage. They didn't take advantage against the Knicks on Friday. They didn't take advantage against the Nuggets on Sunday. And so these next 5 games is what we're going to basically talk about on this podcast today, because they're just so important. Miami has done such a nice job to claw back from 11-30 to a playoff position. And if the playoffs were to start today, they would have the 8th seed. But they are clinging on to that 8th seed. And There are teams like Indiana, Chicago, Charlotte, and of course Miami that are all trying to get this last spot in the playoffs possibly.
I think the last two losses have kind of opened up the talk a little bit about whether or not they should just tank, I guess, or just shut it down. Obviously, the loss of Dion Waiters is still something that impacts the team. And maybe, you know, obviously they haven't been playing as well of late. I mean, you and I have talked about it before, but both of us, I think, are of the mindset that Miami should do whatever they can to possibly lock in a playoff. I mean,
at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if they had maybe not played as well in January and February as they did, which, you know, obviously no one predicted, maybe we'd be having a different conversation. But at this point, you know, as we discussed with Ira Winterman a couple weeks ago when he was on our podcast, it would be so disappointing, such a major blow to the front office, the franchise, and to everything that this team has struggled for and bonded together for the, you know, the singular goal of making the playoffs. It would be a huge disappointment.
And, you know, sure, if they miss the playoffs, they're probably the 14th pick in the draft. That's technically in the lottery, but no team ever really moves up from 14. So we're looking at, okay, you're looking at a 14th pick, depending on when Dion Waiters comes back. A first-round win is probably, look, they're going to be underdogs in the first round regardless.
Absolutely.
But what's crazy is that before these two games, Miami was looking at possibly getting a 5th seed.
Right.
And now we're hoping that they're going to even make the playoffs. That's how big those two losses really were, is you go from maybe getting a nice little spot in the bracket in the playoffs to barely hanging on and having to basically play until the end of the season to make it. Look, let's talk about the Charlotte game on Wednesday, though, because this is really where everything starts. The Hornets currently lead the season series 2-1, and if they were to win Wednesday, they would own the tiebreaker and more likely than not overtake Miami for that 8th seed. But if Miami wins, they would own the tiebreaker because the season series would be tied and they would have a better conference record at the moment, right? So they would just hold on to that better conference record. Plus, they would end up taking a two-game lead over the Hornets anyway. So by beating Charlotte, you're really going to do some damage into their chances of making the playoffs. So that's the first major one. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Wednesday's game is a must-win, more so than maybe any other game this season. This is really Miami's first playoff game. The playoffs start now for the Heat.
Right. I mean, there's no room for error, and I think those two losses magnifies that, and it makes that the reality is that, you know, if the playoffs are the goal, and we think that they are, the team thinks they are, then they need to win as many games as possible. And I know that's not exactly astute observation on our part, but that's the reality. They've got to find a way to beat these teams. And Charlotte, look, I mean, I know there's a tendency to discount what they've done because they've struggled over the last couple of months, but the last few weeks have shown that they're capable of winning, and they do present some matchup problems there, particularly without Deion Waiters in the lineup. So, I mean, they've got Kemba Walker there. Yeah. They've got Nick Batum. They've got some nice players. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is going to be able to defend, you know, Josh Richardson or Goran Dragic, keep him out of the paint. I saw him hinder Russell Westbrook in a matchup or this weekend, and he did a really, really good job. Look, Westbrook got his typical triple-double, but it was one where it wasn't the most efficient of stat lines, and I think a lot of that had to do with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist's length and his ability to harass athletic players. He has the speed, the length to stay in front of a quicker point guard, and Goran's going to have a hard time getting to the rim tomorrow night, so that should be a very interesting game.
That's a really good point. So MKG probably guards Dragic, right? Because Miami doesn't have another perimeter threat. MK, they're very much like the Thunder in that way, where it's Dragic or bust, kind of, for Miami. So MKG starts on Dragic. Dragic probably has to guard Kemba Walker, right? Because you can't put Magruder on Kemba Walker. You know, I don't think he's quick enough to stay with Kemba Walker. And Spoelstra doesn't really like cross match a lot defensively, right? He usually lets his guys guard the other guy.
Sure.
So we're probably going to see Dragic versus Walker. Walker's been just going off lately. I mean, his last eight, nine, or ten games have just been phenomenal. I mean, he's scoring almost 30 points a game, and if you're going to slow him down, Dragic is going to have to probably play one of the better defensive games of his season, especially when you consider he's probably still a little injured. He's going to be carrying most of the load on offense because we're still not expecting Deion Waiters back. Like, we're going to need a big, if the Heat are going to win this, it's going to take a big game from Dragic. It's also going to take a big game from Hassan Whiteside. And that, if we look at the matchups, that's really where Miami has its biggest advantage. Cody Zeller, you and I are big fans of Cody Zeller and his game.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but there's no doubt that Whiteside, and really the way Whiteside's been playing lately, that's a big advantage if Whiteside can have one of those nights. And I don't know the last time Whiteside had one of those just huge nights. I should probably look that up, but where he just went off for 25 plus points.
It's been a while, I think. I mean, he's been reduced in his role offensively. He's been efficient, more efficient of late, and I think that's fine. Absolutely. I mean, what we've wanted to see from him. Zeller, you know, I think he's physical enough to kind of, you know, harass Whiteside and keep him out of his comfort zone. We don't want him to be, I think he can do a pretty good job of keeping Whiteside from getting to his spots, but Whiteside has to be more dominant. He really has to, and you made a great point in saying this, he really has to be as effective as possible around the rim, because I think Zeller will try and throw in a couple elbows. He likes the physicality. He likes matching it up. We don't want Whiteside to fall in that comfortable zone he does of hoisting up those awful floaters or, you know, 15-foot jumpers or anything like that. He needs to get to the rim. He needs to be able to be more effective in the pick-and-roll game offensively, you know, roll into the rim and getting those wide-open shots. And I think that's where he'll have his clearest and best advantage over a guy like Zeller.
So in three games against Charlotte this season, on October 28th, he had 20 points and 15 rebounds in a really, really great game for him, but Miami lost the game.
That was at the start of the season when Whiteside's role was much bigger than it is now.
In December, 8 points, 10 rebounds. Not a great night for him.
No.
And then on March 8th, 10 points, 15 rebounds. In a game that doesn't jump off the box score, but he was at least efficient. You know, he was 4 of 7. He had 15 rebounds, 4 blocks in the game. So and Miami ended up winning the game by 7 points. But he hasn't been dominant. And his last dominant game wasn't... I mean, the last time he was just really, like uber-efficient Whiteside was February 4th. That big 30 and 20 game against the 76ers.
Yeah.
And if we're counting games that aren't against the 76ers, which it should be another... that should be another stat entirely. 26 points and 20 rebounds against in that loss to Golden State in January. So he hasn't had one of those. He hasn't had just a really dominant game. I mean, he scored 26 points against Indiana, but that he took it. That was on 21 shots, and Miami lost that game. So it was. I think that was one of those. You know, that was obviously a volume scoring night. We just need efficient, dominant Whiteside, and that might be. Between that, if the Heat can get that, if Dragic can play Walker to a draw, and then the tired legs of Charlotte on the second game of a back-to-back, that's going to be Miami's best chance.
I also think that Josh Richardson has to play one of his best games of the season, if not the best. And you know, he matched up against Walker in the playoffs, I think, mostly because, you know, Dwayne Wade wasn't capable of switching on to him. So I think we saw minutes there where he was trying to harass, you know, Walker during the Charlotte series in the opening round. So there's history there, but he'll be starting tomorrow night, obviously. And I think if Dragic guards him, that's fine. But either way, against MKG or Walker, he has to be at his most effective. I like the matchup of Magruder to Batum. I don't think Batum, although he's longer, I don't think he's necessarily willing to mix it up as much. And I think Magruder can do a good job of guarding him. Now, it's another opponent. I might be dead wrong, you know, because we've seen him struggle against taller opposing players. So, I mean, Batum at 6'8". Will clearly have an advantage size-wise.
So you put Richardson on Batum and then just let Magruder play Kidd Gilchrist and then deal with whatever switches that Charlotte runs?
That might be the way to go, right? I mean, it might work out in Miami's favor. That's an interesting question there. I'm not sure how Spoelstra plays it, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, Dragic versus Walker, I mean, Walker's so fast and his step-back jumper is so deadly. I worry that he's just going to be knocking those all night with the Hornets home crowd rallying behind them, even as tired as they're likely to be. That might just be enough. And you know, they're down big right now as we're recording this to the Washington Wizards. It looks like they'll probably lose that game. It might be enough to, put a major roadblock in their playoff hopes. But we both think that they're still going to play off, you know, play their hardest tomorrow against Miami or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this. So, I think they'll bring maximum effort at this point. You know, they could still have a major spoiler role, so I don't think there's anything to lose. Look, I mean, I think Charlotte was one of those teams that a lot of people expected them to make the playoffs along with Detroit. And if for some reason Charlotte doesn't make it, I think they'll still be competitive throughout the rest of the seasons. Steve Clifford has always been a guy who tries to get the most out of his players, and I think he'll do that tomorrow night against Miami as well.
Miami's bench is going to have to be big. Tyler Johnson and James Johnson are going to have huge nights too. I mean, if the Miami starters could play Charlotte to a draw and their bench can outscore Charlotte's, that's enough to win the game, right? And maybe that's what happens on the second night of a back-to-back, and hopefully for Miami. But let's kind of dive into the rest of the schedule. But before we do that, listen, if your company is looking to reach a male audience between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring Locked On Heat right here in this spot. This podcast is listened to by 95% men, 74% between the ages of 18 and 44. According to a recent study, podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with a sponsor than from traditional media. Plus, our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listeners, so you get your value. Email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com to find out more about sponsoring Locked On Heat and engaging the audience that you want to reach.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
So this is like a little interesting thing. I don't know if you ever look at 538's playoff odds or odds for everything, and because that's kind of what they do.
Sure.
2 weeks ago that they had Miami's playoff odds at 66%. So they gave the Heat a 66% chance to make the playoffs. Then Miami loses their back-to-back games, and at the beginning of this week, that has dipped to 44%. That is a huge drop-off within a week. And the interesting part about that is that Miami is currently in the eighth slot, and they still only have a less than 50% chance to make the playoffs, according to 538. Even more interesting is that they give the Pacers, who are currently not in the playoffs, a 54% chance of making the playoffs. Better odds than the Heat. And that's really due in large part to the team's remaining schedules. If we look at Miami, we talked about Charlotte. After that, at Toronto on Friday, at Washington on Saturday, versus Cleveland on Monday, versus Cleveland on Wednesday, and that's, or I'm sorry, versus Washington on Wednesday, and that's the rest of the schedule. That's a combined record of 224-160. So they're playing, and all those teams are, could be or will be playoff teams, with the exception of Charlotte, who are on a hot streak right now. So no easy games for Miami. Plus, they have a back-to-back between from Toronto to Washington. A back-to-back on the road is really, really tough. And then you look at Indiana, who has better odds, but they're on the outside looking in. They've got they're playing Toronto tonight. Then they play Milwaukee, and then two road games against Orlando and Philadelphia, and then they finish the year at home against Atlanta. That's 3 of 5 games at home. No back-to-backs against opponents with a combined record of 181-204. So 538 is looking at that. They're comparing Miami's schedule and Indiana's schedule, and they're saying, look at Indiana's road. That's way easier. We're going with those guys. They have a 10% chance, better chance of making the playoffs than the Heat. What do you think?
The numbers are based on what has happened up to this point. Obviously, it takes into consideration records and things of that sort. We just don't know. We don't know whether or not Cleveland is going to be resting players. Maybe Washington will be shutting down players. It's tough to predict. At this point, right now, as we're recording this, Indiana has taken a huge lead over Toronto with 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're up 11. So it looks like they'll push Toronto further down the standings and surpass Miami as far as the playoff picture is concerned. So it's tough to put too much weight in the numbers, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, look, they're only basing those, using whatever data they have available. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to doubt 538's work, but you're absolutely right. Like, these last five games can get wacky. Like, they're going to be unlike any other five-game stretch the rest of the season, because the race for this eighth seed is so important. You talk about Charlotte, they have every reason to make the eighth seed. They don't want to be in the lottery. You look at Washington, they could be fighting to move up to the fourth seed. Toronto is going to be hoping to hold on to a top four seed. Cleveland, who knows what, if they're going to be trying to rest their players, or if they're looking to hang on to the one seed over Boston, or if they think maybe Ty Lue thinks that rest isn't the answer and that this team needs to play its way out of its current funk. Who knows?
Right.
But what we do know is that Miami, they need to base, if there is a road to the playoffs, right, they've got to win against Charlotte on Wednesday. We've already talked about it. It's a must win. And then you've got to basically split that series against Washington. You got to split those two games because they get one on the road, one at home. And then you have to win one of Toronto and Cleveland. So that puts Miami at 3-2 in these next five games, and 40-42 on the season, because we think 40 wins is what it's going to take to get the eighth seed. Miami's record against their next four opponents in the next five games: Charlotte, they're 1-2. Against Toronto, they're 1-2. Against Washington, they're 2-0. And against Cleveland, they're 2-1. So they're a combined 6-5 against these teams. So that's what it's going to take, right? Like, you got to beat Charlotte, you got to win one of the Washington games, and you got to win one of either Toronto or Cleveland. And if the Heat don't do that, then they're probably going to be on the outside looking in, barring a collapse from any other team.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what makes all of it so difficult. I mean, look, it's from a superficial level, it's really exciting because, you know, there's so much involved here. There's so many teams. It gives the end of the season a weight that it hasn't had in a good long time. I don't think, you know, when during the Big Three era, their position in the standings never really mattered. Whether they were first or second in the Eastern Conference, that didn't really make much of a difference. During the 2 years since then, they were either out of the playoffs as they were in 2015, or last year they already had one of the top seeds. I don't think it really mattered whether they fell third or sixth. It was nice for them to finish third, or third or fifth rather, and to have home court advantage in the first round. And it did make a difference as they were able to knock off the Hornets. But at the same time, I don't know that the end of the season had as much weight as it does now. And this is, you know, they're facing teams. Look, I'm looking at Indiana's schedule right now, and what a luxury it is for them to be facing, you know, the Magic and the 76ers, two teams that are clearly out of the playoff picture. They don't have much to play off for. You know, covering Magic games, I hear Frank Vogel, their head coach, say a lot that at this point in the season, knowing that they're out of the playoff picture, it's all about instilling, you know, winning tendencies and getting the right mindset in place for next season. Who knows what will happen? You know, we just heard today that Dario Saric, I think, is out for the rest of the season with an injury of some kind, plantar fasciitis, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, their best player at this point is going to be out. I mean, those are probably two wins for Indiana, yeah. You know, two wins that we need them to lose at least one of those. And I'm not sure that's capable. Look, they have to travel to Orlando, so who knows? Maybe the Magic will play well at home. But there's so many different things, so many different possibilities here, and it's really difficult to predict how Miami does. I mean,
Miami, maybe, luckily, they own the tiebreaker over Indiana. So if they end the season with the same record as Indiana, then they get in, right? So if you're looking at Indiana,
yeah, I mean, they get.
So you said it looks like they're beating Toronto right now.
They're beating Toronto. They face Milwaukee, which means Milwaukee will probably win because I think they have an advantage there. They could beat Orlando and Philadelphia pretty clearly, and then their last game of the season is versus Atlanta, at home. So they could go 3-2 over the same stretch, and that's what we're basically saying with Miami. Yeah, that's what we're looking at.
But
for Miami.
But they can't go 4-1.
If they go 4-1, yeah, obviously, then they take the advantage.
Unless, of course, Miami somehow goes 4-1, but like we're talking,
which is about, always, right? A possibility, right? I mean, who knew? We didn't think that they were going to lose a second night against the Knicks either, and they did.
So. Look, remember when, like, the first round of the playoffs used to be a 5-game series?
Right.
That's what this is. They got to go 3-2 in the next 5 games, and they're probably in the playoffs. More likely than not, they'll be in the playoffs, I think. But that's what this is. This is the first round of the playoffs for the Heat, and they got to win the 5-game series. It's 3-2. That's what they got.
Now, one of the things we've talked about, you know, in context of Gordon Hayward and the possibility of him coming to Miami, and, you know, we've talked about Spoelstra, and look, he's... If anybody is equipped to deal with this kind of pressure, I think it's Spoelstra. He knows what's at stake here. And I think the mindset of this team, they don't feel like they're in a hole. We saw quotes from him earlier today, I think, or yesterday, where they don't feel like they're in a hole, but they know what's at stake. They know what they have to get done. And I think that's a great position to be in. There's no there's no desperation. You don't want them to be falling apart and to fall back and look and you know, if they lose a lead or something like that, you don't want to see that team collapse. You want them to be saying, oh, you know, they can still come back from these things, and they know that you know, this is going to be a challenging road if they want to get into the playoffs. And look, ultimately, the fact that they're picturing that as the goal is a huge thing, a huge bonus, I think, for this team. So I'm very cautiously optimistic. If you had to guess right now, if aliens came down right now and put a gun to your head, and I don't know why they would, but they made you predict whether or not the playoffs would happen for Miami. Well, what do you think happens?
I'd say yeah.
Really?
I love the way this team fights, honestly. I think, and you look at what the advantages that this team has, I think its bench is an advantage against probably every team that they're going to play in these next 5 games.
If James Johnson plays as well as he has in the past. Now, he struggled, though. That's the problem, though. I'm worried.
I think this team has struggled. I just, man, like, they have risen up to the challenge every time this season. Almost every time, I should say, because they obviously didn't against New York and Denver. But they've dug themselves in the hole, and they've dug themselves out of holes a few times this season. And, you know, I think that they're going to be playing with more urgency than every other team other than Charlotte. Like, we talked about Toronto and Washington and Cleveland and their reasons to fight, but they're in the playoffs. You know, so Miami is going to have even, if they're urgent, Miami is going to be even more so. They're going to be even more urgent because they are fighting to get into the playoffs, stay in the playoffs. So I like that advantage. I like the underdog card that they've been playing all season. And, you know, there's just something about this team. If gun to my head, I'd probably say, yeah, they make the playoffs. And Indiana sucks.
but, you know, they're hard to predict. You're right. They do.
What do you think?
I just can't. Well, I don't know. I'm encouraged by the fact that Deion Waiters is out of his walking boot and is traveling with a team on the three-game road trip. He could play at some point during the next three games, and hopefully that's a big boost for them. I'm hoping that he's, you know, as confident as ever and is able to just slide right in there as confidently as he has in the past. So if I had to predict whether or not they'd make the playoffs, I'd say yes.
I love it. All right, well, look, either way, it's going to be really exciting. You nailed it. This is really, it's great to at least care about these last five games. That's fantastic, and so I think we just enjoy it. Maybe it's easier said than done while I'm not, like, sitting at the edge of my couch screaming at the TV, but I'm going to try my best to enjoy it. It'll be fun. This is going to be exciting. All right.
It is.
Well, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at Locked On Heat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so. Get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.